Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh.
And we are here, as always, to bring you some poker hands of No Limit Texas Hold'em. Some hands we've played recently. We're going to dissect them, live react, and see how we could have played them better.
And you know, that's why they're called hold cards, right?
Oh my God, not this again.
Because we're holding them. Uh-huh. The hold cards.
They're absolutely not called hold cards.
Well, you say what you like, and I'll say what I like.
I'll start us off here with, I have a couple of short stack hands, which is, you know, fairly common in the lower stakes here, but some pretty weird spots I found myself in this recent session that I'm interested to hear your thoughts on. Just odd situations. So this is actually going to be a five-handed hand we'll start off here with. And the main villain in this hand only has $87. So this is 2-2, 300 max, and the main villain in this hand has $87 in front of him. There's another villain who has a stack of 250, which is not going to be super relevant.
But... okay, well, you know, make a pair and get it in.
Right, yeah. I'm not really... there is... I will say the interesting street of this hand is the turn, in my opinion.
Okay, well, that is interesting.
As you say, make a pair, get it in, so you can imagine where this is going to be going. But I'm going to start this hand. We're going to open the button, so we're going to be, you know, third to act here on the button. With Queen of Diamonds, Jack of Spades to $10. And the big blind who was not the main villain in this hand but is in this hand had just made a comment about how the table wasn't very good action and he was bored.
Okay.
And so I was like, here's some action, raise to 10. So,
yeah.
And both the blinds call.
Okay. So already, I guess the effect, already the effective stack is like, you know, 2.5x pot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, of course, I'm not very interested in the stack of the small blind, who is this $87 stack.
Right.
I'm much more interested in this guy who's begging for some action.
Yeah. Although it's interesting because with a hand like yours, and sorry, what are the suits again?
Queen of Diamonds, Jack of Spades.
It's interesting with a hand like yours because like your hand is going to flop a lot of like marginal top pairs and like kind of marginal made hands, where it's almost like with a hand like this, you kind of want to just stick it in against the small blind and like try and structure where, you know, if you flop a queen or a jack, you try and get it in against the small blind, get the big blind out with his equity because your hand is kind of vulnerable and not all that strong a lot of the time if you just hit sort of a one pair holding.
No, I think this is actually a pretty interesting point because I actually didn't really like this spot being with like up against a short stack and, you know, an over 100 big blind stack.
Right.
With this particular holding, I thought it was probably going to produce a lot of awkward spots with me where, you know, a hand like this probably likes to play some sort of multi-street bluffing game versus a bigger stack. But of course, versus a small stack, as you say, is just sort of wants to, you know, make a pair or get the hell out. So, you know, it's just, it wasn't my favorite spot in the world, but whatever.
Yeah, definitely an interesting spot. You know, so what's the flop come?
The flop is 9 of diamonds, 3 of spades, 3 of diamonds. And we do have the queen of diamonds. So
okay, so we've got nothing.
Trap. Well, we have two overs. Backdoor flush draw, backdoor straight draw.
Yeah.
It checks to me, and I don't know. Do you like betting this board in this spot?
I think it's okay. I mean, villains definitely have a lot of misses here, which is nice. It's kind of it does kind of lead to some pretty awkward like turn decisions where like if we bet and, you know, the small blind, especially, you know, we bet like 10 and the small blind calls, we're in kind of just an awful spot where it's like, do we just chip it as a bluff? Do we have any fold equity against like any hand he has?
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of have to think about that. But, you know, we on the other hand, it's very hard for villains to have a strong hand here. So, you know, I don't mind betting and trying to clean up some equity and get some better hands to fold.
Yeah, and I think another thing about betting with our hand specifically here is, like, we have no equity to be blown off of. You know, this is basically a complete miss. But, of course, things can happen for us on later streets, especially if we get hexed up with the big blind.
I
don't mind betting here, I think, in general, with especially with this holding. But honestly, with a lot of hands on this board, I mean, I'm probably going to be betting this board a decent amount, and I don't really see a reason why I wouldn't bet this specific hand.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only other consideration is, you know, if you're going back, if you kind of go back to theory, I think the solver likes to check a lot when you're against the big blind and you have like the low card being the paired one. But just because if they're defending at the right frequency, they have like just a ton more threes than you do.
That's true.
But I don't know how relevant that is in live games.
Yeah, I don't know that really, like, there's going to be a ton of 3x represented here, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I think I would want to bet a decent volume of hands here. I think the sorts of hands I wouldn't want to bet would be like probably like ace high sort of hands where like I'm kind of happy to just like, you
Yeah.
know, let a card roll off. I might be best here, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I might not bet a card. I might not bet like a pocket pair below the nine all that much.
Really, even for like some protection with those holdings?
Maybe. I think it's okay. I have heard some interesting advice that, like, you know, when you're playing low stakes, you don't necessarily need to bet for protection all that much because, like, your opponents just are playing two face up to, like, you know. Like villains aren't going to be bluffing a ton when like a jack rolls off. You know, they either hit their jack or they don't. And there's no, I mean, I don't know. We don't really care about those hands that much. So, you know,
That's
you could
fair.
probably bet a reasonable amount. I'm not, you know, it's life. People can have literally any two cards here, and many of those two cards are like ace rag offsuit that are going to fold a fair amount and is beating your hand. So, I definitely like betting your hand.
Okay, well, I bet 10. The small blind calls next to act and the big blind folds.
Okay, nice.
Well, you know, so at this point I'm like, all right, I would like to make a pair. You know, this villain probably is gonna have a bunch of pairs here. You know,
Yeah, and
probably below the nine.
I think we just have like, I guess the way I'd view this spot before we hear the turn is like, I kind of think that there are just a lot of cards where we can pretty comfortably like ship it on the turn. Like if we hit a queen, if we hit a jack, or if we like pick up equity, or possibly even if like a scare card rolls off. You know, like I might want to bluff like an ace. And then like a king actually gives us a straight draw, a 10 gives us a straight draw, an 8 gives us a straight draw, a diamond gives us a flush draw. So I might just want to bet all those cards just because we should have just a ton of value too.
Interesting. Well, this is actually what I want to discuss. So the turn is a 10. It's a 10 of clubs. And so we pick up an open and a straight draw. And my question was, do we want to bet this hand as a bluff, or would we rather take a card? And try to realize, you know, given that villain is short stacked. I mean, I guess the question would be like, what would we do if we were deeper? And then, like, given that we're short stacked, does that affect anything?
Right. I guess if we're deeper, I mean, I don't know, we could probably go either way. Like we actually have like a pretty good amount of equity now, right? Where like, and it would suck, but like not enough. Like if we got check raised and we were deep, we would be like miserable.
Right, we would have to fold.
Right. And that like sucks because like our queen and jack could be live. Like, because even if our opponent, you know, like the top of our, or near the top of our opponent's range here is like 10-9, and we just have like a ton of outs against 10-9. Because like our pair outs are live against that,
Right.
so I might check there, but I don't know. I feel like here, like it's short stacked. I don't mind just like shipping it because like we can't get shoved off. We do still
Right,
have
of
a ton of
course.
outs, like, and we have should have a lot of fold equity. Like a lot of, I think he's also gonna have a lot of hands like pit that are pairs between the nine and the three, or pairs, you know, that contain a nine. And those hands, you know, we should have some fold equity against.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, just saying like, well, because we're shallow, you know, we're gonna get to realize our equity whether we shove or not. So might as well just shove. I mean, of course, the upshot is if we check back here and then brick the river and he shoves on us, we can get away from it, you know, and just fold.
Yeah, I mean that's true. But I think we do, I think we should have a lot of fold equity here, and like we should also have like a lot of outs. So
Yeah, I think you're right. I think I should have shifted here. I actually did choose to check back, see a free river here. But I think and this is really why I wanted to discuss this, because I think you make a really good point that, you know, the contrast of like, well, if we were deep, this is a really actually not a great spot to bet. It's not a very good draw to bet. I mean, if we had maybe a like the nut flush draw or even the king high flush draw here, maybe even if we're deep, we bet. But, you know, versus with a hand like this where we have a lot of equity, but if we don't necessarily have a draw to the nuts. Because of course, you know, there is a flush draw out there, and you know, we're also just not going to get direct odds to call if our opponent uses appropriate sizing on a check raise. All those things to consider. Better to check back here, but I think given the shallow stack, this is actually just a jam. So
yeah, I think that makes sense, because like, yeah, we can't get check raised off our equity if we just stick it in ourselves.
Yeah, and you know, this was just a, I think this mistake comes from me. I'm trying to learn how to, when to check back to realize my equity, because it's something I've know that I'm very weak at as a player on the turn. Especially, I will often bet draws when I should be checking back. So I'm trying to learn how to do that. So this was an incorrect spot, it seems, to do that. But anyway,
don't take my word for it.
Well, yeah, according to winning players, us winning players,
many people are saying this.
Many people are saying this.
All right. So what's the river?
Yeah, so the river is the Queen of Hearts.
All right.
And a villain checks, and of course we're going to jam this card. I don't really think there's much other decision. I mean, it is technically an overbet, but it doesn't really matter. Villain's calling range should be fairly inelastic here. And we do get snap called by Ace-Queen.
Oh.
So.
All right. Well, that sucks.
I know. Pretty odd, honestly.
Yeah.
If I'm him, I'm just ripping Ace Queen preflop over my open. But
I mean, yeah, but
easy.
He is. But, to be fair, if you're him, you're probably not sitting with $88.
That's also true. Yeah. So anyway,
I mean, that's just kind of unlucky. Like, okay, you know. Good.
No, I don't think. Yeah. I'm not really interested in the result of this hand, and I don't think the river is particularly interesting. I just thought the turn spot was perhaps a good learning moment for myself. Anyway. So.
Yeah. Interesting. Cool. Yeah.
So,
if the river had bricked off, would you have jammed?
That's an interesting question. I think, I guess it maybe depends on what type of brick. I think if it was like an ace, I probably jam.
Yeah.
But if it was like a four, I think I'd have to check back here, because I don't really know that I'm going to get much credit for anything.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage is sort of you fold out ace highs, because as we've talked about on this podcast, people just love to call flop bets, especially small flop bets with like most cards.
Yeah.
So it's like your opponent can definitely still have a fair amount of random ace highs. So I don't know. But to your point, he might still just like call.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I think it's like pretty suspect line, honestly.
Fair.
At that point. So.
Okay, well, I think that is an interesting hand, a cool decision point.
Okay.
Well, I've got a hand from a while ago. This hand is against a villain who has popped up a couple times, I think, on this podcast. Kind of like an ABC player. I think he's somewhat thinking, but maybe not that much, but like a little bit. Fun guy to play against, and we're sitting fairly deep in this game. So this is 1-3 at Encore Boston Harbor, the you know, where they rob us with rake. And we're sitting 675 effective.
Sorry, just on the note of rake, I actually was reading something that, or I don't know if reading, but listening. Yeah, I think it was watching the Lodge live stream, where Doug Polk was basically talking about how like poker players are completely inelastic to rake. And like, he was like, the only thing poker players care about is how good the games are. And like, if you ever get in a situation where like the rake is ridiculously high and all the regs like want to boycott because the rake is so high, then all that happens is you've got a bunch of games with all fish and no regs. And then one of the regs is like, wait a minute, I'm actually going to go play this game anyway because it's really juicy. So it's literally impossible for poker players to fight back against the rake. So
yeah, I mean, I think that is true. And I mean, when you read about these games that are like happening, you know, in like New York City that are raking like, you know, 5% uncapped or something. And
right.
People are still playing them because the like fish don't care. Like, people who don't know anything about rake or poker are like, oh, a poker game, how fun. And then the game is just like ridiculously good because the only people playing in it are people who are like, what's rake?
Right.
And then you're like, well, crap, I guess I can beat this 5% uncapped rake.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. So
that is
anyway,
an interesting point.
Yeah. So, all right, didn't mean to interrupt here.
We are not playing 5% uncapped rake.
No,
we're just playing 10 plus 2.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, just a fun, nice fun time. And here in the preflop, middle position is going to open things up with a nice limp. The small blind, who is the villain in question, raises to 15. And I am in the big blind with Ace of Hearts, King of Clubs.
Okay.
So I flat to trap. So I make it 45.
Okay.
And only small blind calls.
Okay, so you're actually heads up in position, which is probably not what you were expecting.
I mean, it is what I was expecting. Given that the player limped, I didn't necessarily expect him to call.
So you're saying that you have faith in 1-3 players to not limp call three bets. That's I'm interested to know where you got this theory.
Yeah, I'm very smart.
Yeah.
So the flop is going to come Queen of Clubs, Jack of Clubs, Six of Spades, and the villain checks it over to me. And do you think this is just a square bet? What size do you think we should use, if so? And what's your play?
So you do have the Ace of Clubs, correct?
Nope, I've got the King of Clubs.
Oh, the King of Clubs, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. I have to feel like, I mean, I guess these double Broadway boards should favor you a lot more as the three better, of course. Now, neither of the cards is a king or ace, so, you know, fair enough. But I do think that you should probably be doing a decent amount of betting here. Perhaps I'm not too familiar with these spots. Like, maybe you are allowed to do more checking because it's double Broadway rather than single Broadway. I know that's certainly true in single raise pots, but I kind of suspect that isn't the case in three bet pots. Do you happen to know?
No, I actually don't. And I this is a spot I could look up, although it is a limper, so it's all weird. But, you know, I have no idea. It's kind of a weird spot because, you know, both of us could certainly have a lot of queens and jacks and queen jack. Our opponent might even have like more like ace jack type hands. I mean, you know, I guess that's not very good. I feel, you know, I guess we probably should have a range advantage here. I don't know that we bet our whole range here, but
yeah, I kind of think you don't. Like, that's just that's the vibe I get from this board, you know, for whatever that's worth, is that you wouldn't bet your whole range. And now, in terms of your specific, like, you probably want to use a slightly larger sizing, like, although it depends on the effect of stacks, actually, because sometimes you never use a bigger sizing if you're at this.
We are quite deep. I mean, we started this hand with 675 effective, so at this point there's like 630 behind and 90 in the pot. So
yeah, so it's, you know, it's almost like it's like 7 SPR or whatever. So yeah, I think that you probably can use a slightly bigger sizing, and I'm not sure if that's half pot or three quarters. Probably either is fine. And I think this hand wants, I mean, your hand, I think, does want to bet. I mean, you've got a lot of equity, and you can definitely call a check raise. So I don't really, yeah, I think.
Can we call a check raise?
Sure. Yeah, why not, right? I mean, you've got a draw to Broadway.
In, like, live poker?
Yeah, fair enough. I mean,
if I had the Ace of Clubs, maybe I'd call some check raises, but without the Ace of Clubs, I probably wouldn't. Like, just to have more equity.
Interesting.
Because, like, our hand, like, is, I don't know. I mean, it's fine.
I guess, but I mean, do you think villain is the sort of player who would be check-raising, like, ace-queen here?
Oh, probably not.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's important, you know, because then you know his check-raise, like, range is just going to be, like, queens, jacks, queen jack, and then like combo draws. So yeah. In that case, yeah, you want to fold to a check raise. So I think it's important, because like I think he should check raise ace queen here, you know.
Yeah.
So okay, then perhaps you don't want to bet this hand.
But I don't know, like, maybe it's just good to bet and like deny equity, you know, fold out like
pair type. What are you denying equity from, though? Like, really, what are you denying equity from specifically?
Yeah, I guess it's not much.
What hand is like gonna outdraw you here?
Yeah, like 10-9 suited.
Fine.
Yeah, right. So yeah, I mean, or like the other thing is we can kind of turn our hand to a bluff to get like ace jack out, or like pocket tens or something like that. But
you can probably accomplish that on the turn and river too.
Yeah, that's because those hands probably won't start betting if this guy is, I'd say, fairly ABC. And as a general rule, you know, live players don't love turning pairs into bluffs, and especially pocket pairs. You know, they'd rather just snap fold and talk about how they missed.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually, you know, given your read on this villain that he's not going to be check raising light, or check raising as wide as he should be, then I actually like checking back this hand if we're going to have some checks, which it sounds like we want to. So.
Okay, well, I did actually wind up checking back.
All right, nice.
I'm not sure that it's right. You know, it might just be that like our ranges are wide enough that we can bet here.
Just... Right, I mean, this is the other thing too, is like you're supposed to have so much garbage three betting from the big blind, and he's supposed to have a lot of garbage raising and then calling from the small blind, but that's probably not the case. Like, yeah. I'm thinking, because I guess if we think about this from like a solver perspective, that's like big blind versus small blind, you're actually probably supposed to bet the crap out of this board, because
yeah, I mean, you're supposed to three bet, you know, hands like 10-4 suited from the big blind. Thanks, right. Gazzy B, for the heads up.
Yeah, right.
But like I know that my opponent is not going to be raising enough hands out of the small blind that I should be three betting that many hands.
Yeah. So, you know, that's just another consideration, or another thing worth bringing up. Like, this is probably much closer to something like a cutoff versus button situation, ranges-wise.
Yeah, I think that's probably a fair comparison, and I don't know how much c-betting we should be doing in this, but maybe that would be a fair sort of solver, you know, lesson to learn, is looking at that kind of board.
Yeah, I'd be interested, but okay. So, you check. What's the turn?
The turn is the eight of spades. So okay. The board is now queen of clubs, jack of clubs, six of spades, eight of spades. So now two flush draws. But villain does check again.
Yeah, I mean, you're, of course, I say it's a brick, but of course, 10-9, which you mentioned, does get there.
Yeah, I did mention that, but that I didn't even remember what the turn was.
Okay, well, villain checks again here. I'd probably start applying some pressure at this point.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, right? I just have to try and... you know, now it kind of does look like his hand is a bit more weighted towards like small pairs, you know, small meaning below the board. Maybe it's a jack like king jack or jack 10. Maybe it's a hand like tens or nines. But I mean, either way, it sounds like you want a structure as like a double barrel here.
I think we can evaluate rivers. I don't think we are always going to double barrel this hand, but I think we might. I think we want to give ourselves the option. And... like, certainly if a club comes on the river, for example, I do want to bluff this hand.
Right.
I think an important question to ask ourselves is, what are the value hands we're betting on this turn that we're checking back on the flop?
Right.
I'm curious to hear what you think that range looks like.
I mean, it could be a hand. I think it might be a lot of, like, medium top pairs. Like, because we're definitely three betting hands like queen 10 suited.
Sure.
Maybe even queen nine suited, like blind versus blind. Definitely some amount of king queen that we might check back sometimes on the flop.
I don't necessarily like doing that, but okay, sure.
Yeah, like that. Those might be the hands that we're betting here. Maybe also like, I mean, maybe pocket queens we might check back sometimes.
Okay.
I don't know that I love checking back pocket queens on a board like this. I probably wouldn't be doing a whole lot of that.
Maybe some ace jack, something like that.
Yeah, ace jack. So, ace jack, we'd probably get one street of value, right? So we'd just bet here and then probably check back the river.
So we're talking like kind of a lot of sort of marginal made hands. So certainly I wouldn't really want to use a large sizing here at all. I would want to use a small turn sizing. So could be one half, could be one third. I don't know if you... I think it's interesting, like, if you're afraid, like, is a one-third bet going to induce something out of this guy? Or if you feel pretty confident that it's not, you know...
I think it could. I think even, like, ABC live players do like to just pounce on small sizes. But that might be okay. Like our hand is okay, like, folding.
Well, sure, but I guess I want to think about what are we going to do with our range here. Like, even, like, right. Let's say we did have queen 10.
I mean, I kind of like betting big here, because I think that once villain checks twice... like, his hand just is pretty rarely, like, super strong. And so I think we do just want to kind of put on a lot of pressure. Like, not necessarily pot or over, but I don't know. Maybe sort of a you know, more than half pot. Just because I also think, like, once the flop checks through and then he checks again, like, we have just a lot more, like, strong hands than he does.
Interesting. Well, I mean, your range should be like, you know, I mean, I don't know if I agree with you, because like your range should be like medium strength hands and trash, and his range should be mostly trash and some medium strength hands.
Right.
And usually when your opponent's range is mostly trash, you don't want to use a large sizing because it's really hard to get value. So like when your opponent has a bottom heavy range, usually a smaller sizing is appropriate. I could be wrong here, but my intuition here is that like half pot is better than like three quarters.
Yeah, you may be right. I think that makes sense kind of intuitively. But I decided to bet 65.
Okay, so that's like two-thirds.
Yeah, it's like two-thirds, three-quarters.
I mean, it can't be that bad. Like, I just feel... I mean, this is sort of an in-between-ish sizing. Like,
yeah.
I think I would rather go... Like, if you are going to take a big size, I'd rather do at least three-quarters. But, you know... I don't think it can be that bad.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that's fair. But villain does go ahead and call.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because it is a fairly big bet, of course, and he does call anyway.
Yeah, I mean, now we look at his range, like, you've definitely narrowed, like, I think you're taking a big enough sizing that it is going to narrow his range to mostly, like, weaker top pairs. That's probably it, honestly.
Yeah,
unless he hit, like, some weird two pair and he's, like, sandbagging, I don't know. But,
yeah.
Probably like queen 10, queen 9, sort of the hands you were talking about. Maybe king queen at the strongest. Something like that.
Well, the river comes an interesting card. It's the ace of clubs. So we make top. The
front and door, you've got a royal flush draw.
The front door flush comes in, and we do have four to a royal with our king of clubs. Yeah. But of course, we're just sitting here with one pair. It is top pair, top kicker, and villain checks for the third time.
And so your question is if you should go for value?
Well, I mean, I think the question is, I mean, how I think we do want to bet here, but I think it's actually kind of an interesting spot because it's tough to, like, given that our opponent called our chunky turn bet, like, what are we trying to get called by, you know, if we bet here? Like, what hands should our opponent show up here with? He can't have a hand like Ace-X of clubs because the Ace of clubs is there. He could have a hand like Ace-X of spades. That ran into a backdoor flush draw and just decided to call. But, you know, like, I feel like it is tough for villain to have worse here that calls, like, a bet.
You know, it's interesting because typically on the river, if you bet in position, you're never supposed to take a sizing smaller than half pot. But, you know, poker is a game of almost nevers and almost always is. And I actually think this might be one of those spots where it's appropriate to take a smaller sizing because basically anything villain can have, even like the strongest hand he could have here, which would be like, you know, queen eight or something, like is severely downgraded.
Right.
And when that occurs, like compared to your range, which is going to just kind of, I mean, I guess like queen eight specifically doesn't care necessarily about the ace, but let's say like if he has queen 10, king, queen, whatever, like that's the bulk of his range is like queen X. You know, your range is so much stronger. You have so much more ace-x. And, of course, the flush draw comes in. So, I mean, if there's ever a time to use just, like, a tiny sizing, like, this might be it. You know, I might go... It's like a reverse block, like 25% pot or something weird like that. And, like, what can he... He can't raise here. Like, even with, like, ace-queen, he can't raise.
Right? I think he can raise ace-queen.
Would you raise ace-queen in his spot?
Against that sizing, I probably would.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, ace queen is probably like it's probably good. Like queen jack probably wouldn't raise.
Okay, fair enough.
But ace queen, I wouldn't hate raising. But okay. I also don't think he has a lot of ace queen because like he did three streets. Like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty hard for him to have ace queen. I think it's pretty hard for him to be able to raise you here. And even if you might even call a check raise, honestly, like with your specific holding. So I don't know. Yeah. I think I like a pretty weird tiny bet in the spot. I don't know if that's solver approved or whatever, but just, I am trying to think about from a balanced perspective, like what would I do here with like ace queen myself like I would, it's pretty hard to get value if you bet really big, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, or
so I agree. I mean, I did take a smaller sizing. I didn't think about going like super small, but I bet 100. So I did bet just under half pot. I was like, you know,
fine. Okay, yeah,
I don't want to go too small and like risk getting just not making the max.
Yeah.
So I bet 100, which is still, you know, less than half pot. And he does tank for a while and does wind up calling and he mucks.
Okay, very good.
So yeah. I don't really know what he had, but it was kind of a weird spot where I was like, this feels weird because like but it's live poker, right? Thin. So I was like, I'm going to bet this hand and like just hope I get called by worse, even though it doesn't seem like there's that much that should call me.
Right. No, I think it's interesting. And hey, you know, it worked out. So maybe what I said is stupid. Certainly, I think like betting a bet is your order, using a small size, if your small size is never smaller than half pot, that can't be bad. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't like pot it. But I mean, you know, unless you want to like turn your hand into a bluff and shove with your king of clubs.
Yeah, right. and then get hero called by a worse hand.
That would be sick. It'd be like, oh, he never has one pair here. I'm going to call with like king, queen. And you're just like, damn.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, it's pretty interesting. I mean, I think you know, the fact that he tank called shows that if you definitely didn't want to use a bigger size there. So.
Yeah, I think I picked an okay sizing at least. Okay, well, let's keep it moving.
Okay, well, another short stack spot here. Pretty interesting one. Again, shorthanded. We're six-handed this time. And we're 160. The main villain here is a stack of 165. So not quite as short, but still less than 100 bigs. And the villain is on the main villain's on the button here, but this hand is going to start with a hijack limp.
Nice.
Of course, first to act limp. Button's going to open it up to 12. So I did take note of the sizing, you know, that he is adding two for the limper. You know, I try to notice these things, like someone, a sign that someone is like maybe trying to think about the game a little bit.
Or he's just got a really strong hand.
Right. Or he's got the nuts. I mean, this guy, I hadn't seen much from him. He's been fairly like chatty with the dealers. He seemed to know the dealers, but that doesn't mean anything. So, the small blind calls and I'm in the big blind with black seven of spades, seven of clubs. I think this is just a complete versus his stack size. I think if we're deeper, maybe we can squeeze here sometimes.
Yeah. I'm happy just calling there too.
There's something to be said for squeeze jamming here. I guess in theory this is actually like appropriate at stacks at like shallower stack depths. There's some theory behind this, so maybe I'm supposed to squeeze jam, but I did not.
I think that's interesting. I think definitely if villain opens smaller, maybe we can just like do that. But you know, I think given like live player sizing tells, like if you're not confident that this guy is just like this is just like a 10 plus the limp, then like I would be, you know, be a little wary of like trying to pull a play like that. Against you know, against like a larger sizing that might just indicate that he's got a stronger than average hand.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I don't hate it. That'd be cool.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I do just call here and the limper folds, so too expensive for him.
These kids raising.
The flop comes 10 of spades, 9 of clubs, 7 of diamonds. So all we right. Bink that set.
So hold on one sec while I update things. So 10, sorry, say that one more time. 10 of diamonds, 9 of clubs.
10 of spades, 9 of clubs, 7 of diamonds.
Okay.
Sick. And I guess I should have prefaced by saying that, boy, did I play this hand badly. I mean, I guess that's the preface to the entire podcast, but, you know, just going to put that out there.
We should have called it, boy, did we play this hand badly.
Yeah. So I actually... I think I played the flop all right. You can tell me what you think.
All right.
I thought that this board was going to get checked back a ton.
Okay.
I mean, of course, small blind checks. I thought that the button was going to check back this board a lot. Like, I just was like, this is terrible for his range. He might even get scared with a hand like aces sometimes. So I wanted to lead out here. And I did. I bet 15. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Okay. I think leading's okay here. Just, I mean, I don't think villain will be scared. I don't think live players are like Florida live players, especially are going to be scared with like an overbear. They're just like, I have an overbear and I have like $150 left. I'm going with it. You know, a lot of the time.
I don't know, man. Depends on the it depends on the player.
But it definitely does. Of course, there are a ton of turn cards that will kill our action or improve our opponents. I mean, that said, like, it's a little awkward because, like, what we want to do with this hand is, like, check raise large. And, like, what we are, you know, so just because, like, we just want to, like, get it in. If we have bottom set on a dynamic board, like, we just want to try and get the money in on the flop, if possible. So this does kind of prevent that because we're pretty unlikely to get raised also. Like, especially, you know, for the same reasons. So I don't know. I think you could go either way. Like, it's when we kind of lead here, we're, like, going to just get called a lot. Like, a lot of, like, random things in our opponent's ranges. Like, Jack, X. Like, you know, there's so many, like, pair and draws here. And it is going to make navigating, like, turns and rivers a little awkward.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't necessarily afraid of getting outdrawn so much as, like...
Of course.
I just wanted to make sure that money went in the pot on the street. But if you think that I'm maybe overestimating the amount that this card is going to get... that this texture is going to get checked back, and maybe I should just plan for a check raise, like, I think that that's fair. It's hard to know.
It is hard to know. It's so player-dependent. Like, if you're against, like, a pretty competent player, then I think leading makes a lot of sense on a board like this. You know, you could probably lead fairly frequently, because I think you, especially in the big blind, will have a ton of hands to connect well with this board. You know, whether they're straight draws, pair plus draws, sets, two pairs, and you could do a lot of leading to, you know, in this case. It's just so hard to know what this player has and, like, what his range actually looks like, but I definitely don't mind a lead.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I did lead, and he does call in the small blind gets out of the way.
Yeah, and I might have bumped it up to, like, 20, like, just that half pot.
Yeah, fair enough.
Try and get money in, you know, while we can.
All right, so... turn now is the six of diamonds, so it does put a four-liner out there. Of course, villain now has something like, I don't know, what is it, 140 in his stack or so? A little less than that.
Yeah.
And the pot is like 75-ish, or excuse me, 65-ish.
Yeah, I have like basically a 2x pot behind.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I wasn't really sure what to do on this card. I thought it was a pretty odd card. Like, I did still want to bet because I was sure I'm sure he's not going to bet for me. But I wasn't really sure what sort of sizing to take on this card. And I'm pretty unhappy with the decision I settled on, but I would like to know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, I think it is kind of weird. Because, like, given all... I can see why I would probably also have trouble with this, with sizing here. Because, like, I don't think you can jam.
I don't think I can jam.
Because I just think he's going to way overfold.
Yeah.
One option is to go geometric. But, of course, the board texture has changed quite dramatically. And so, like, a geometric sizing would require us to make, like, a 2/3-ish pot bet. And that's pretty large for, like, a card that changes the board so drastically.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd probably want to go, like, 45, right, if it were just geometric. Is that right?
something like that. Like, I'm just thinking in terms of percentage. So, you know, I almost want to bet, like, that would make me think that I want to bet, like, keep betting small. Like, bet half pot or slightly under half pot. Still set up for a river jam in kind of a different way, but also, like, you know, consider that maybe with this run out, we might not be able to get all the money in, and we might just want to go, like, small, and just get called by, like, his one pair hands.
That we're just like, there's just no way we're gonna get his stack, and just sort of accept that on this card is just like,
yeah, which is something I will say, I will preface by saying I am just terribly, terribly bad at. Like, I am really bad at that. Like, when I see a strong hand or, like, you know, strong draw, I'm like, I want to bet big and, like, set up stacks. But then, like, in a spot like this, your opponent is just allowed to overfold a ton when you use large sizings.
Right. I mean, like, if I'm in his spot, like, with, like, literal aces, I'm just like, I probably do not have the best hand here almost ever.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, I guess... easy for me to say looking at the board, I would probably be in favor of just kind of betting, you know, maybe bet like 30 here and then bet like 40, you know, like a block the river,
right,
and just like get the value that we can get.
Interesting.
I don't know. It's just a thought. Like,
no, I think you're right. Like, I don't really know what sort of hands would even call. Like, if we go geometric on the turn, like, if we go, like, 45, are we... Like, is he going to call us with aces? Is he going to call us with ace 10?
Right.
He'll probably call us with, like, 10-9. Like, but I don't even know if he calls us with aces, to be honest. Like, he might just be like, ah.
Right, and he definitely folds the river.
Right.
Or, I guess not definite. Nothing is definite, of course. Right. But likely folds the river.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I actually, I bet 35, so maybe it wasn't stupid of me. I don't know. That is what I did bet as okay. small sizing. You know.
Yeah, I might even go a little smaller just to, like, you know. But I guess that 35 is fine. Like, I do think we're going to get called enough.
Yeah.
It just makes rivers funky. The thing. Like, it does, it is kind of just, you know, but maybe that's okay, right? Maybe we don't need to live in a world where, like, you know, you can bet 35 and then, like, commit yourself on the river and fold anyway when he jams.
Sure. Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, do you think we're going to, like, bet fold river here? Like, the river's like a deuce, and we bet small on the river, and he jams. You really think we could just fold?
I mean, maybe. Like, are we ever good? Are we, like, ever good?
But, like, what are the odds we'd be getting? Well, okay, let's go to the river here.
Okay, so we bet 35, and it sounds
calls,
like
he calls. Calls. Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, so it's like 140, 140-ish in the pot, 100 behind is what I have, so, you know, close, something in that vicinity.
So the river is the four of diamonds. So the flush, the front door flush now completes.
It's a backdoor flush, right?
I'm sorry, yes, the backdoor flush.
Which is better.
Which is better, yeah. So are you thinking that, like, we're going to go with the strategy of just bet really small here? Is that, you think that'll work?
I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like we can, I've been trying to do a little more block betting just because I am trying to break this habit of just, like, shoveling money in with good hands and, like, not getting the appropriate value.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think you definitely helped me realize that by, you know, with your repeated insistence that when you block bet, it feels like you're getting away with something. And I just think it's really interesting, like, because I think players do also, like, even, like, low stakes players, like, raise block bet some amount when they have, like, mm-hmm. hands that they perceive as strong or, like, good bluffs. And so if you just block, like, with a bunch of, like, with different types of hand classes on boards that, like, you know, are good for it, then, like, you can just, it's just, like, so good.
Yes.
So I don't know. So I'm kind
of... Is this a board that's good for it?
Yeah, I don't... But it's... Because, like, what our opponent did raise the button over a limp, right? And called our flop bet and called our turn bet. So his hand certainly looks like it's going to be a lot of, like, overpair type hands.
Yeah.
Could be... I mean, of course, there are a few more hands that we lose to now. But I'm not, like, 10x of diamonds, basically.
Sure.
But I'm not too worried about that.
I'm not really worried about losing here. I guess, like, ultimately, it's like, you know what? Like, I can lose with a set.
Yeah.
And a less than 100 big blind starting stack hand, like, I will lose with my set.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe we do. I mean, I'm kind of okay. I just don't know how much we're getting called when we jam.
Yeah. I really don't know what he could pop. Like, this is the thing, like, in hindsight, because I did jam, but, like, in hindsight, I really am wondering, like, what am I trying to get called by if I jam?
Like, it's like specifically like 10-9.
Like, what is, like, but even 10-9 is like, are they really going to call you though? Like,
or like pocket sixes.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a very thin value range to be targeting, right? Like, we're betting 100 to get called by, like, not a lot, like two combos of 10-9.
Yeah.
And, or we can bet like four, like, I don't know, 50 or 40. You can bet like 40 or 35, and we just get called by like all his 10x and jacks and queens and kings and aces.
Yeah,
which I think you'd have to, but like, so we're betting a third as much. Are we gonna get called 3x as often?
I mean, I think we're gonna get called almost never when we jam, so it's not that hard to get called 3 times more often. So
yeah, so I think I would just like to block here.
Okay, what if we block and he jams? Is it just a fold?
Like, I don't know. Maybe we do just call.
Like, I feel like it can't be a fold for the extra $60.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we do just call. Because, like, he could have 10-9. He could have an overpair and just be like, we've got a 10,
I guess. Spaz. Yeah.
No, I think it would have to be a block call. I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we do jam, and he folds pretty quickly. So bummer. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool to find these spots where small bets are in order, because a lot of times we don't like betting small. You and I specifically, it's just like something we don't like to do, because I think in live poker it's usually wrong, because like players are pretty inelastic to bet size in a lot of spots, and also like theoretically speaking, large bets are much better in way more spots than people tend to use them. So, but small bets are powerful too, and these are a few different scenarios where they are.
Yeah, I think this is definitely an interesting spot, and it's just like, you know, you can kind of think about our own experience. I mean, and of course, live players might not be thinking about the game in the same way, but you know, how many times have you been in a situation where there's like a four liner to a straight or something, or if the front door flush completes and you have like a one pair hand and your opponent just bombs it, and you're like, great, I just get to fold like so many hands.
Yeah. You're like, I literally almost never have to call you.
Well, and especially in a case like this, or in a case where front door flush completes. And I think this is sort of the important part, is that when both players can have a lot of hands that improved, right? Mm-hmm. Because like, of course there's sort of an MDF bit, but like if you are holding like, you know, ace 10 or something and your opponent bombed 10, 9, 7, 6, you could be like, I have so many better hands. Like, I opened the button. I have like a bunch of eights and also a bunch of sets and also a bunch of two pairs. You could have aces and think that, as you said. So, you know, I think that even like live players are also going to be thinking about that in some amount. Maybe not.
Yeah, they don't think about like their range and where they are in their range. They definitely don't think about that. But they do just be like, I mean, there's sort of that, well, how am I ever good here? Like, they do think that way. So,
I have had like even players who I know for a fact are quite bad, like in a spot like I've overheard them talking to their friends in bad, you know, bad poker language. But they're like, ah, oh, he bet that big. I can just fold because I can have an eight. I can have an eight there, and so he's so strong when he bets.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
You know, it's like really like and kind of interesting.
Gotta give him credit. Gotta give him credit. So.
Well, you don't.
All right.
Okay, well, this is a hand that I think is pretty interesting, and I'm not sure if it... I'm really not sure if I played it too greedy in reference to some greed. This is, again, a 1-3 game. We're 500 effective at the Encore. Been trying to play there a little less because it really is just like, you know.
But the games are good.
But it's 1-3, you know? Everyone, the thing is like, if you're playing, like, I think that like that analogy that you mentioned at the beginning really matters the most for like higher stakes.
Sure.
And like home games and stuff. When you're playing a public 1-3 game, every public 1-3 game is going to be fine.
Well, unless it's all just a bunch of passive guys.
Yeah, yeah. And every 1-3 game with, like, a comparable buy-in and, like, should have at least a one fine table.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, yes, sure. The Encore 1-3 with a 500 buy-in will be better than, like, you know, the Thunder Valley 1-3 with, like, a $60 cap or whatever.
They're not quite that foul over there. I think it's a 300 cap, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. Okay, so anyway.
Shout out to Thunder Valley, first poker room I ever played in. I got my teeth kicked in. I appreciate it very much.
So the low jack is going to start this hand off with a limp. I've just sat down, so I'm the effective stack. You're at 500. And I am in the small blind with queen 10 of clubs, and I raise it up to 15.
So you said over a low jack limp, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
The big blind calls, and the low jack calls as well.
Nice. Out of position to two players.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we should raise this hand. Like, it's a problem. Oh, there's
absolutely.
A limber and all
absolutely.
That.
Easy. 100% raise. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, it's not going to be fun in this spot. Unless you flop something very good, which sounds like you're about to.
No, we don't flop. Oh. We flop a good range flop. Ace of diamonds, jack of hearts, four of clubs.
Okay, so we flop a gutter.
We flop a gutter, and of course this board should be quite good for our range versus our opponents as a double Broadway board.
Yeah. It's interesting. Your question, like, do you want to better check this board?
I mean, I think that's the start.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I'm already thinking, like, man, you know, here we are. We have some equity, you know, that we could very, that we absolutely cannot call a raise here if we get raised. But of course, do we have enough equity to even care about being blown out for equity is sort of another question, of course, because we do just have a gut shot and no overs. So I don't know. What do you think?
I don't really care. Like, if we got check raised, I'm just like snap full. If we get not even check raised, if we get raised and we have to, like, we will not be continuing this hand out of position.
Would you check call this hand, I guess, is sort of the question.
I don't think so.
I think you might have to if it goes bet fold.
Yeah, but I'd rather check raise probably. This is like a pretty good check raise candidate.
Okay.
Like, we have a backdoor flush draw in clubs. We have a gutter. We block a bunch of ace, like our opponent's best ace X, like, which does make it a more attractive candidate to me than like king queen or king 10. Because I guess our opponents can have ace king.
Right. I actually kind of wonder then, like, wouldn't you rather play this hand as just a check raise rather than betting? Because you make a good point that it's a reasonable candidate for doing that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And if it goes check, 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 you're not even mad.
No, I'm fine. But I don't know. I think that, so maybe it does just make sense. Like, I don't know that we want to structure this hand as like a triple barrel, right? So
no, but you know, so, like, I think it could be fine as a check raise and then sort of evaluate turns.
Oh yeah, I just meant more like when we bet here, you know, what do we want to do on future streets? Like, you know, or, you know, but maybe it plays itself a little bit where if we bet here, we can kind of keep betting on, like, if we pick up equity, like a club, we can check if we have, you know, if we make like a pair. So I don't know.
I think it's really, I will say, playing these sort of hands where you're looking to pick up equity out of position is very hard because it can really screw up your turn checking range. A lot of times you'll end up with a lot more, like, you end up with too weak of a turn checking range. A lot of times what I've found, it's really hard to balance. Like, you actually have to bet turns a lot more than you think you do.
Right.
Like, even when you don't pick up equity. Versus, I think if you play it as a check raise, you can actually check a lot of turns. Like, you can actually check a lot of strong hands on the turn.
Right.
So, because you're fairly, your range is fairly protected, it's hard for your opponent to bully you. So, I don't know. I do prefer to play double backdoor type hands. Obviously, this isn't quite a double backdoor. You have a front door for straight draw. But double backdoor sort of hands, I do like to play them more as a check raise on the flop to sort of protect your turn checking range.
Yes, and I realize all... Yes, I think that makes sense. I think that's fair.
Okay.
But I decide... So I do decide to bet here. I bet 15.
Okay, I mean, it can't be that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's a double
problem. Look, if there's one thing to understand about this podcast is that everything we do, we say it can't be that bad, and then we just lose piles of money.
Yeah, it can be.
It can be that bad, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Like, but like, right, this is a spot that just, like, seems fine to kind of, like, proceed in most ways. Like, I probably don't like check calling at all.
Like, I mean, out of position. I don't know, it depends what you want to do on the turn. Like, I'm sure there's some strategy here. Like,
check, it's call, okay, lead. Check, call, lead.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Like, you can, obviously you have a check calling range on this flop. So, like, the idea that, like, well, I'm going to put, like what floats do we want to have in that check calling range? You need to have some. Like, is this really the worst candidate in the world? Like, I don't know. That bad. Maybe king, yeah, queen's better, but okay. So,
I mean,
fine,
do I need to have floats in this game? I don't know.
You have to have floats, Josh.
It can't be that bad.
All right, so
I bet 15, and the big blind calls and the limper folds. From what I've realized, like I said, I sat down fairly recently at this table, but I think I've played with this big blind player before. She is very loose passive, can be very sticky at times, which maybe lends itself to not, you know, like, definitely not like starting a big multi-barrel bluff.
Mm-hmm.
But she can, because she definitely can be pretty stationy, but. You know, I mean, I do think also, you know, we have queen high. There are plenty of better hands we can, like, get to fold here.
Okay.
So, just worth noting.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to make a difference. So.
So, there's 75 in the pot. There's, like, 470 behind. And the turn comes Bink City. It's the King of Hearts.
Nice.
So, you know, who cares about multi-barrel bluffs? We got the nuts.
Okay. Well, if we think about Villain's range here, they called next to act. She called next to act. So... should have a lot of ace-x. Not gonna hate. They're probably not gonna hurt. She's probably not gonna hate this card that much. She's not gonna love it because, you know, you do make some two pair here. Although you were already beating her with ace king, probably. So, I actually do think this is a fine card to just continue on. I mean, certainly if we're trying to get all the money in, I mean, just like, is it even possible without doing an overbet? Like, no, right?
Right. Like, if we potted it and she called, the pot would be like 225 and there'd be like 400 behind.
Yeah. So I don't like an overbet here, I don't think. Well, I don't know. What? I guess you are. You do actually have more of a nut advantage here. Like, she can't have aces or ace king or kings. Not that you should have kings either.
No, but I don't think I would have kings. But yeah, aces, ace king, jacks.
Right. Yeah, you can have all of those hands. Queen 10, you can both have. So, I don't know. It's probably okay to overbet here and, like, put an ace in a tough spot, given that the king isn't that dynamic of a card. What would you want to do? What bluffs do you have here?
Maybe like 10-9, like combo draws. Like, we can have like 10-9 of hearts. That's mm-hmm. one that I'm thinking, like, looking here.
Pocket tens.
Probably. Pocket tens would probably be a good
one. If you wanted to start a bluff with pocket tens on the flop, which I don't know if you would.
Probably wouldn't. A whole lot. So
probably not pocket tens. Maybe jack 10.
Yeah, maybe we'd bet jack 10 for like thin value. And then it's not great.
Maybe not. I don't know. If you lack bluffs, like natural bluffs, I would be a little nervous about using a large size, I guess.
We could have like 4x, like 4x of hearts, like 5-4 of hearts. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, so you, maybe, so then in that case, I don't like using a big size here.
Like, I mean, think, but you, like, do we need to play balanced here? Also, like, I understand that from a balanced perspective, but like, if we're playing against like a loose passive live player, can we just go like overbet shove and try and get called by an ace?
It depends how stationy you think she is.
Right.
But I think, you know, to our conversation earlier, just this last hand, like, she can just sort of suss out that you don't, like, you're just going to be strong here.
Right.
You know, it's so hard. Like, you know, even like, you know, we're pretty creative with our bluffs. And like, I don't really think either of us is finding a ton of bluffs here. So, and she, you know, she could just be like, I don't know, you could have aces. You could have ace king. Like, how could I be good? You know, she can say that and it just fold, and that sucks. You know, so if you don't, I don't know. I do try to default to a balanced play unless I have a very good reason not to. If you have played with this player and know she is a total station, absolutely overbet. It's a crime not to.
I guess I don't know. Like, I think I had picked, like, I think I had picked some of that up, but I wasn't 100%. Like, I definitely didn't have a bulletproof read by any means. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think that, like, you're, you know, I think it's kind of a big shame if you overbet and get a fold out of a hand that would call a three-quarters pot bet here.
Right. I mean, that's true, for sure.
So, yeah, I think I would be inclined to just go three-quarters.
Okay. Well, I bet 100, which is an overbet, of course. Yeah. And she does call.
Okay.
After not taking that long.
Then, I mean, I'm shipping any river, pretty much.
So. Yeah, so I just have, like, dollar signs in my eyes. You know, 370 effective, 275 in the pot. Awesome. I just think she has an ace here a lot. Maybe two pair. She can definitely have ace-jack. This particular player could probably have some ace-king. I will say, I have seen her flat with ace-king before.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, she could also have a hand like ace-x of hearts. She could have some, she could have queen-10 herself. You know, definitely plenty of hands that she can have here.
This is awesome. I mean, hooray. Like, you took a gamble here on, like, I think this player's a station. And, you know, if you're right, then hell yeah.
So the river comes the deuce of hearts. So the backdoor flush does complete. That's the only thing that changes. But given that, I mean, you know, the backdoor flush does complete. It could be harder to get paid off if we jam. And she could obviously have some, probably specifically ace-x of hearts or queen-10 of hearts. I guess it depends on how stationy she is, but probably most, like, it would be weird if she called the flop without one of those hands and made a flush.
I don't think this villain has a lot of flushes. I also don't think stationy players, which, you know, I think this person must be, like, genuinely, I think to call a turn overbet here, unless she has a nutted hand and she's sandbagging, you know, she just free rolled you with like queen 10 of hearts or something.
Right.
You know, I think she's probably fairly, she probably is very stationary, because I actually think you have almost no bluffs on that turn, and a lot of players can figure that out. So,
right. Reasonably, I think I agree that I would, I probably should be taking a smaller sizing on the turn.
Yeah, so I also think, so what I was going to say is Stacey players often don't notice backdoor flushes or think that there is impossible for someone to hit a backdoor flush. So I don't think this will decrease your ability to get paid off. Yeah, I would jam here.
Okay, I do jam. Okay. And I get called pretty quickly by Ace 7 of Hearts.
Well, okay, yeah, it's a bummer.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah,
I guess so it's like a world sitting... where you bet smaller and fold, but like, I mean, of course, if you bet and she jams here, well, I don't even know. Here, hold on. I don't even know if you can fold to a jam because she might jam queen 10. Like, she might jam us.
But you shouldn't 10. Call for a chop, I think, in general. If you think her
well, but
is
like, queen... what are you betting here? Like, what are you like? There's 275. So, like, what would you bet? You could bet like three quarters or something, or a half pot, maybe. So, you could bet like 125.
Yeah, it's like a river. I mean, like, it, the thing is, like, the,
yeah,
it's like a backdoor flush, right? Like, I don't think it would be appropriate to like block here because I don't think like this board is just not a blocky board. Like, it's not one where I have a lot of like thin value that I'm over betting turn with and blocking river.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. No, I mean, I don't know. So I guess you can bet fold river, but like.
Right, like, will she jam, like, sets?
No.
Like, probably not. I mean...
No.
Because if yeah, I mean, it's weird, right?
She's, like, loose passive? No, I don't
But if, like, they don't notice the backdoor flush, which is an interesting point and not something I've noticed myself, but, you know, if you perceive them as, you know, that type of player is not noticing...
Well, I'm just talking about not that she might not... But more just, like, she won't give you credit for having a flush type of
right,
thing.
Right, right,
right. Sure. So... But I don't know that she would jam a set. Like, I guess if you goes bet, I guess you can bet fold this river. I mean, that's like the other option is bet fold or do we jam? And like,
and of course we do lose value, I guess, is the downside, right? If we bet like 150 and, you know, just get called by a lot of like a set, you know, naked ace X, two pair set type hands, you know, what makes more sense? I guess she does have a fair amount of combos of ace X suited, like ace X of hearts. Like, so maybe given that it does make more sense to bet smaller and fold, but I don't know. Yeah. Like, how many hands does she have that will pay us off? Right. It's hard to know what she'll call like a shove with. Like, would she call a shove if she had like ace 10, no heart?
Right.
Like, why would she? I don't
but
know.
I don't know. But if she's, I mean, if she's just a huge station, but I guess, which you think she is at this point. So I don't know. I think it's fine. I still think your jam's fine. Like, it's like if clearly an exploitative play. Right. And it, like, so you just have to say, like, I think that this is a winning play versus this player. Like, that's
which
really
I think,
the claim you're making.
And that's kind of why I brought this on, because I think it's interesting because, you know, as I thought about it after, it's like, actually, you know, there are a lot of combos of ace, X of hearts, right? There's like, there's three hearts on the board. There's the ace. So there's like nine combos of ace, X of hearts, which is. Like a lot, like a fair amount, and I think she would play all of them the exact same way. But
versus like, you know, some combos of like maybe
like a lot of King Jack, a lot of eight, like a fair amount of King Jack, a fair amount of Ace Jack, Ace Four, Pocket Fours, some Ace King,
right.
And maybe I mean, and then I don't know if I would ever get called by like Ace Ten.
Well, wait, let's say you bet like if you were gonna bet fold, what would you bet like 150?
Yeah, probably around there.
So you're losing an extra 225. Like, are you gonna gate? Like, I think you're going to win that extra 225 more often than you're gonna lose it.
I think so, right? Because there's nine. She has nine flushes. She's got six combos of every two pair. Like, sorry, six combos of ace jack and six combos of king jack, and that's already more than the flushes.
Yeah, I think this has, like, versus this sort of player.
Right.
This has to be a jam. I think right. Versus the field, I don't think it's a jam, and I don't think the turnover bet's
perfect. Yeah, well, and I think that that's interesting, too, is that if, you know, there's definitely an avenue where we bet three quarters on the turn, you know, and then we, like, bet three quarters again on the river, get jammed on, and fold.
Yeah, happily fold at
right.
That point.
Yeah, so. Like, river raises are nutted, as we know.
Yeah.
Like at best we're chopping in that case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but I, no, I think I, that that's interesting and definitely does. It's certainly a lower variance play also.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, whether you want a lower variance is dependent on your bankroll, how on fire your bankroll is. But, you know, yeah, I guess at the end of the day, it has to be for exploitative reasons if you're taking this line. But exploits print money if you do them well. So I don't object to you doing this if you think she's a station. But, you know, I personally, like I said, I don't know that I would have, like, overbet turn just because if I didn't have a strong read on the player. But once they call my turn overbet, that influences my read because I think, like, I just, if they're doing that, I mean, unless they either have to have specifically ace-x of hearts or be a station.
Or queen-ten of hearts, I did forget. Or, so 10, yeah. 10 flushes, but right. I think that looking at it from a combos perspective and thinking about it that way is helpful for me to think about just being like, oh, once they've called, there are more combos of hands that I beat that will definitely call, plus some combos of hands that we beat that might call, than there are hands that beat us, so we just have to go for it.
Yeah. I guess if I had no previous experience with this player whatsoever, I might not read that much into the turn call, though.
Right.
But. All right. Well, everybody, you've spent another hour with us, listening to us prattle on about our poker hands, and if only we could have them back. How we would have played them so much better, I'm sure. We appreciate it. Please subscribe to the channel. Please like the video and leave a comment below.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We appreciate you. I hope you enjoyed, and tune in next time.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.